Welcome our studio audience and our special guest for the day, reappearing from yesterday's programs, Representative Bryant. And Council, if you'll give us the overview, I will open the public hearing on Senate Bill 845.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 845 would allow, not mandate, the governing body of the county commissioners to require that a person serving as a justice of the peace in a newly established justice court be a member of the Oregon State Bar. Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
Thank you. Neil Bryant, District 27, which is Central Oregon. And this bill was requested by Deschutes County. They're going to establish some justice courts in Deschutes County. Right now, if you're sited in Lapine, you make the 35-mile trip to Bend. If you're sited in Sisters, you make the 20-mile trip to Bend, et cetera. So it's inconvenient, especially when the roads are snowy or icy. And Deschutes County, in making the decision to do this, thinks it is important to have a legal background. And so they wanted the statute, which presently doesn't allow for that, to provide that option to counties. And that's what this bill will do. So it'll be of assistance not only to Deschutes County, but to other counties if, in fact, they want to establish justice courts with attorneys. There were a few no votes on the floor of the Senate. And they were because, even though it's optional, certain members did not want to imply in any way that you had to be an attorney to serve as a justice of the peace. And as I said, this is optional, so that's up to the county commission as far as what they wanted to do. Initially there were some concerns from the Oregon Justice of the Peace Association. I haven't heard from them recently, so I think hopefully their concerns have been taken care of.
Well, that's curious. We have John Gervais signed up against, but I don't see him in the room. Oh, is that right?
It's the young John Gervais.
It's the young John Gervais. Okay, well.
Sheriff Brown is here, too, from James County.
Representative Warbelow has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. These are just newly, these will be the newly named justices.
Yes.
We have a justice of the peace that's been serving in Jackson County and probably knows how to dispense justice better than any attorney does.
And this one will not affect that particular justice. And in fact, many justices of the peace right now do an exceptional job. We did hear a few war stories of some that caused a lot of appeals into the circuit court that may or may not be different if, in fact, you had a law degree. But again, the bill only pertains to new justice courts.
Yeah, I was going to say, not just new justices of the peace, but new courts.
That's
so
right.
That you couldn't apply this even
so what
for
happens
an appointment
is,
to a vacant position in an existing court, you couldn't apply this. This only relates to newly established courts.
And there's an appointment then by the county commission, and then you stand for election. Yeah. So that's the process.
Right. Further question. Actually, I don't have any problem with the idea at all, but I did have one thought as I was thinking. Having been on the county budget committee, I knew what our justice of the peace made, and it's not a whole lot. And yet he had a heavy schedule, and maybe that's not true in most of the justice. But I'm just wondering where you're going to find attorneys that, because it basically could be almost a full-time job, at least in some justice courts.
Well, I know the commissioners have looked into that, and Deschutes County has a lot of attorneys. And their belief is on a part-time basis they won't have a problem in finding people that would be willing to serve. And in some counties it wouldn't work at all because there are very few counties and none of them would want to be a justice of the peace. And that's why it's important to have it optional.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to apologize one more time on the record to hitting Senator Bryant in the face with a door on our way to the hearing today.
A door that he offered to open for me.
And it's no reflection to my position on his bill.
Thank you, Senator. Sheriff Brown, welcome back.
Thank you.
Do you really mean to say you were here yesterday, went back, and you're back again today?
I went back for a meeting and came back. Had a meeting this morning and came back. Yes, sir.
We should ask him what's happening to his county. Crime wave.
For the record, Greg Brown, Deschutes County Sheriff, Chair Shetterly, members of the committee. I'll be very brief. Senator Bryant was very eloquent. Just wanted to touch on a couple of points. You're probably aware Deschutes County is the fastest growing county in the state. We're also the 64th fastest jurisdiction now in the nation out of like 3,500 jurisdictions. Because of that, we have a lot of traffic, a lot of congestion, and we are trying to take our services regionally and deliver them back to the community where they belong. Sheriff services, for instance, we have 10 sheriff stations located throughout Deschutes County because we believe in delivering our services locally. We put together a community group to look at justice courts. The group consisted of members of the community and members of the county, but I thought most interestingly, we had citizens from Lapine that are on a committee called the Community Action Team. They're actually looking to incorporate Lapine. They unanimously supported the idea of justice courts because Lapine would get one, as did the City of Sisters Council, who would like to merge their municipal court into a regional court. The City of Sisters has 800 people, and yet we serve a population of thousands. And both of those areas both said the same thing. They felt in Deschutes County we ought to have an attorney on our justice court. It's not a reflection on the present courts. There's some great justice courts around the state, but we believe in order to get our Board of Commissioners to form one that we're going to have to, that they're going to have that ability to make that requirement. The final thing I'd like to mention is that where are we going to get our justice of the peace? I've been amazed that since the first article came out in our local newspaper, the number of attorneys that have called that have homes in Deschutes County that live in Eugene, Salem, Portland, and they're all going, gee, this is a great thing, we'd like to apply. So there's definitely going to be a tremendous number of applicants, including some people that are present court judges for like municipal courts throughout the state. And again, this will not affect any of the current justice courts, only any county that wants to form a new court system. Thank you.
Question for the sheriff? All right, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for your time.
John Gervais. Well, I don't think we've had the pleasure, but how do you do?
Chair and members of the committee, for the record, my name is John Gervais. I'm here slightly against Senate Bill 845. The Senate has helped us out with this bill to establish, for the record, that it is for new jurisdictions and it's not subject to the changing of the districts so that they could just change it and then apply the rule. But they still don't believe that it is necessary. It increases cost, as was raised, and reduces the service. They feel that a lot of attorneys wouldn't do a lot of the functions that other justices would. But as I said, they do appreciate the Senate's
Let me ask, isn't that really a decision for the county, in this case the Board of Commissioners or the county court or whatever you have, isn't that a decision for them to make as to what level of service or what cost they want to bear when they create these things? I guess that'd be my response to that. It's sort of a, I don't know, local control issue.
Well, Chair Shelley, I do agree with you, but I'm simply...
Sure. I understand. Okay. All right. Any questions for Mr. Gervais? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 845. And open a work session.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Williams.
I would move Senate Bill 845 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williams moves Senate Bill 845 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair,
yeah.
And I apologize for missing a lot of the testimony, but was there any explanation of the 7 votes no?
Senator Bryant's explanation was what I think kind of an attorney bashing vote, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's, I think, how it was explained, Mr. Chairman.
Two words.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
No, I think that was basically, he didn't say that, but I think that's what the gist of it was.
Great. Thank you.
Great.
Great. Okay, please call the roll.
Great explanation.
Representative Backlund?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Representative
Burbala?
Yes.
Representative Walker?
Aye.
Representative Williams?
Aye.
Representative
Whip?
Excused.
Chair Shelley?
Aye. Senate Bill 845 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any non-lawyer want to carry this? Representative Backlund, thank you very much. Thanks, Sheriff. Mr. Gervais, pleasure to see you in committee. Let's go to a public hearing on House Bill, or sorry, Senate Bill 81, A. Engrossed. Counsel.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 81 would clarify the authority of a justice court to enforce a justice court judgment. Essentially, the system is now that municipal and justice courts cannot enforce their own judgments. They have to be transferred to circuit court, where they then become enforceable judgments. This would alter that and allow the justice courts to enforce their own judgments. And I see Mr. Marquis.
Yes.
Here, Mr. Chairman.
Come on up. In fact, why don't Mr. Gervais and Paul Snyder, why don't you all come on up together? And you're the only three signed up. We can just take you all at once.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jim Marquis on behalf of the Oregon Collectors Association. I want to start by saying I'm here to support this bill. I didn't explain this as well to counsel as I might have, and I... part of the problem is that municipal courts have no real enforcement mechanism available to them, including transcribing to circuit court to enforce criminal judgments coming out of the municipality. Municipal courts historically write traffic, have judgments arising from traffic tickets and the like. But those judgments are not considered money judgments under Oregon law, and therefore the municipality may not issue a garnishment and they may not lien real property in enforcing those judgments. And there's no way to transcribe them into circuit court because they're not money judgments, and so the circuit court won't take them. They're left with trying to enforce these judgments through finding someone in contempt or other measures. There's some problems related to that, because if you're in Kaiser, Oregon, in the municipal court...
such as Mr. Myers.
And Mr. Myers says that they have a lot of delinquent accounts, and the delinquency went up this morning because he was out there again. But... if you have a Kaiser resident that you've got a delinquent traffic ticket against, you can probably hold that person in contempt. But if the person was from Pendleton, can you go there and get him? Can you bring him back? Probably not. So this has been an ongoing problem for municipalities, and I was asked to serve on a task force that was put together by Paul Snyder and some people from the cities to look at this problem during the interim, and we sat around the table and discussed it, and we talked about trying to allow these things to be transcribed into circuit court. The judicial department really didn't want them. There are a lot of them. Just to give you an idea, all small claims cases, civil small claims cases statewide last year was about 60,000 cases. There were about 450,000 of these cases, so it's a lot of cases. What we came to was to create a method by which they could issue their own garnishments and lien property, utilizing the same rules, the same forms, the same procedures as would be done in a circuit court. Now, as we began to look at this, and we had a lot of help from the Judicial Department, and Brad Swank did a lot of the research on this and did an excellent job, he found in his as he went through this, that there was really no statutory authority for justice courts to be issuing garnishments, although they do routinely. It wasn't clear in the statute. There is a reference in the statute that a justice court can charge a fee for a garnishment, but that was about all that was said about it. So we decided in pursuing this that in addition to allowing municipal courts to issue garnishments and to lien real property, that we would also clarify that and allow clearly in the statute for justice courts to be able to issue garnishments and to lien real property for criminal judgments. And then and the municipal courts and the justice courts would perfect that lien on real property by filing a transfer of judgment in the county lien record, so that the circuit courts, the courts are just out of it. The issue came up in the proceedings as to the number of liens, and a lot of lenders, and I represent one group of lenders, as you, most of you know, get concerned about the number of liens being recorded on real property. And they were concerned about the some half a million a year that might get filed here, or potentially could get filed. And so we tried to come to some kind of a compromise on that, and we, in that endeavor, we amended the bill in the Senate, or asked that the bill be amended in the Senate, and it was, to limit the ability of the municipal courts and the justice courts to only being able to lien property if the debt was in, or the judgment was in excess of $3,000, or if they had multiple judgments arising from the same defendant against the same property that would total more than $3,000, so that they would still have garnishment available to them on all of these delinquent debts, but for liening of real property, they would be limited to only liening property over $3,000. The reason we picked $3,000 is that the $3,000 is kind of a magic number in the statute already, because you are prohibited from executing against real property, that is debtor-occupied property, to satisfy a debt of less than $3,000. And the legislature did that many years ago to kind of protect homeowners from losing their home over a smaller debt. And so we picked $3,000 because we thought that was consistent with the other statute, and we moved forward. And the city, of course, would like that number smaller, and the lenders would like it bigger, but we thought it was a fair compromise. And in the Senate, everyone did write off on this bill and agree to that amendment, including, I think, the municipal court judges and others. So that's kind of where we're at with the bill. There was one other amendment in the bill in the Senate that the county clerks offered, and we have no problem with that. And there was actually, it was in an inadvertent error we left out when we allowed them to create the lien. We didn't allow for the clerk to charge for the filing of a satisfaction, and they can in other cases, and we thought that was fair. So the clerks had that, and we allowed that in. With that, I would be happy to answer any questions. I think the bill is fairly straightforward.
Representative Werbelow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this before, but I just read it for the first time last night. And I have some concerns, and let me talk to you about them. The process of the lien process and even the writs are pretty much an administrative type of situation. And the circuit court is set up to do this. They have employees that are assigned to that. It's kind of automatic. And I'm just wondering, and I wish Brad was here, why the easiest way would have been done just to let these judgments be transcribed to the circuit court and follow that routine. And I'm real curious why the court was reluctant to do that. And I'm especially concerned because municipal courts I don't have quite as much problem with, but justice courts are a whole different ball of wax. And again, I'm relying on the justice courts that's in my county. And he's a tremendous justice of the peace. He has very little administrative support, staff support. These things run on a shoestring, basically. In fact, they have to come to the county to even get their pay in every budget cycle. And I think we, to put them, for the justice courts to do this, I have an extreme concern. Of course, they aren't attorneys, the other ones. I mean, I know they will maybe under this bill, but I have concern, and maybe Brad can answer.
I'm going to guess fiscal impact, but
Mr. Chair, before Brad answers that, I just want to point out, Mr. Chair, Representative Urbano, under present law, for purposes of criminal judgments, justice courts are required, not may, but are required to enter those judgments into the county lien record. This bill actually backs that up and makes it permissive. They're already doing this on criminal judgments. And civil judgments, plaintiffs routinely file, well, actually in justice court under civil, they transcribe those to circuit court. And this would simply, we tried to make it uniform between the criminal justice court judgments and the civil so that they would be done the same way. But believe me, justice courts are required to do that now.
But why don't you leave it there? I think you're putting a burden on the justice courts that the present form of justice courts really are not. All they have to do is send it over to the county transfer. That's easy. And then the county takes care of it.
No, Mr. Chair, Representative Erbilout, that's what this bill, the justice court doesn't keep its own docket. I'm sorry if I didn't make this clear. The justice courts are not required to keep their own docket like a circuit court docket. They perfect the lien by filing a transcript of judgments with the county clerk, which is entered in the county lien record, just like they are required to do on criminal judgments under present law.
I don't think I read that like this, but let me go back and check.
Well, okay, now I'm going to ask Brad to...
And I also mentioned, this time Mr. Gervais signed up on behalf of the Justice of the Peace Association and Municipal Court judges, I too assume on this as well, then in favor of this bill, so I assume they're satisfied with whatever the processes are. But I'll let you speak to that. Who wants to go next? Did you want to answer the sure. representative's question?
Chair Shetterly, members of the committee, Representative Overlauer, for the record, my name is Brad Slank. I'm with the State Court Administrator's Office. Under current law, as I heard Jim start to explaining, there are two processes for how justice courts perfect their judgments. And for municipal court, there's no process for how they perfect their judgments. For under current law, justice courts perfect civil judgments by having those brought in to circuit court. But criminal judgments, they're required to file in the county clerk lien record. Now, for them, there's a matter of some confusion because you've got some judgments going out that are done one way and some judgments going out that are done another way. By far and away, the largest amount of work that they do is criminal. So in making the process standard for them, they ask for it to be standardized, and they were comfortable with it all being standardized in the way that they do it for, or the way that they're supposed to do it by statute for criminal. And that resolved a workload impact for us, and it's a process that they're already supposed to be following. And then for municipal courts, the idea was to make it the same as justice courts since they had nothing now. And that was the approach that we took.
Well, maybe I haven't been very articulate in my question, but the problem of it is somebody has to bear this burden, whether you do it if the municipal court is going to do this themselves or if they transcribe it to the circuit court. And that's true of the justice, too. The circuit court is already set up for this process. I mean, small claims transcribes, justice court to a certain extent. Somebody has to care. And a lot of these local governments, it's going to be an added burden. For example, I can tell you in Jackson County, it will be an added, it could be, has a potential for being an added burden to them. I'm talking money-wise. Your system is already set up. There are people who do this on a daily basis. Why don't we continue to do that, give the municipal courts the authority to transcribe, and then have the system flow as it always has?
Chair Shetterly, Representative Uberlau, there would probably be a substantial fiscal impact on that if we were getting that large amount of paper coming in. And justice courts are currently doing it the other way and seem to have no problem with it, and they get the benefit then of collecting the monies directly that they're enforcing. And justice courts do currently enforce some of their judgments with. I mean, if we changed it the other way, then we would essentially be taking away current powers from justice courts that they currently have.
Mr. Snyder, why don't you weigh in? Thank you. Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Paul Snyder, representing the Association of Oregon Counties. Representative Werbelow, the Justices of the Peace Association worked with us in designing this bill and approved it because they felt that it improved the prospects of actually collecting their delinquent judgments. And it would do so by making it easier, by going to filing in the county clerk lien record, perhaps in another county, in the example that Mr. Marquis gave, then to transcribe it into circuit court and then transcribe it into another circuit court in another county. So their view was that they didn't express concern for increases in administrative costs because I think that they're costs that they're already bearing now, but they expressed appreciation for the prospect of being able to improve their collection record.
Would you like to make one more?
Sure.
While you were working with the Justices of the Peace, did you have conversations with the county commissioners?
Mr. Chair, Representative Werbelow, the association approves the bill. We supported it. Yes, we brought it back to them. The expectation is that we'll be able to increase our collection rate for outstanding judgments in justice court.
Mr. Gervais, do you want to confirm the association's position on the bill for the record?
Yes, thank you, Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is John Gervais, and I just briefly want to say that the Oregon Municipal Justice Association does support this bill wholeheartedly, as do the Justices of the Peace Association, the OJPA.
Okay. Now, with that said, I was provided a note by counsel that says that there are substantial conflict amendments that are going to have to be done in this bill, so we'll not move on it today. Brad.
Members of the committee, there's one thing that people always forget to mention about this bill that's a part of the bill that I think I should mention because it focuses on the judgment part. But in going through that, one of the things we discovered is that there's a lot of arcane language in the statutes about police courts and recorder courts and those sorts of courts. And when you clarify the effect that municipal and justice court judgments have, it raises a question about the effect of the judgments in these other courts. And so we checked with people, and nobody had heard of a police court or a recorder's court for at least 20 years that we knew of. So one of the things that the bill does is go through and eliminate those arcane references to other kinds of courts that used to exist.
Thank you for bringing that out. Chair, if I may just two quick comments. My understanding is that the $3,000 limitation that Mr. Marquis described applies to municipal courts.
I do believe that's true.
Also, just for the record, we're of the view that justice courts do have pretty clear authority to issue garnishments, although this would make it more clear.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw you responding to that.
And I want to thank Paul for clarifying.
Yeah, Everybody's doing everything fine. Nobody's overreaching. Charles, you had mentioned the possibility of an amendment. If they're doing conflict amendments, do you want to? He had one word, I think, that there was a problem with. I just wanted to ask. He's not signed up, but I saw him by the elevator. If we're doing conflict amendments, my only question is there something else that we should do? If there's just an issue of terminology, was that what it was?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Charles Stern. I'm the Yamhill County Clerk. When the language was developed for recording some of this stuff into the county clerk's lien record, they brought language over from how you did it to court and used the word transcribe or transcript. And that is a terminology used to the court, not to the clerk, the county clerk, the land records. And we've talked about it, and it's one of those things, it's just terminology, and if there wasn't going to be amendments, it's no big thing. But if there are going to be amendments, it would look like that should be, you know, they record lien record abstracts or certified copies.
That's why I thought it would be a good idea to bring you up. If we can fix that now, it'll save having to bring this back in 2 years into the Scrivener's bill or something like that.
Yeah.
And, Mr. Chair, we would be very much in favor of that.
So I'll ask if you would maybe work with counsel as we're getting the conflict amendments done, and we can bring them all back together at the same time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Representative Wells.
I need a little education on justice courts, per se.
all the counties have justice courts, or...
No.
Because we used to have a justice of the peace at one time, like, say, for instance, down in Jefferson. They eliminated that. Who funds justice courts, and where are they in Oregon?
Here we go.
I understand municipal courts, evidently that's what cities have, unless they have the clerks. Now, I understand that the city recorder or city clerk can do part of that work, but I need a little education how this whole process fits into to the circuit courts and this whole thing.
Chair Shetterly, Representative Wells. Again, for the record, my name is Brad Swank. We're not exactly sure how many justice courts there are, but there are between 33 and 37, depending upon the time that you count. Over the last, sometimes counties create them by ordinance. The justices of the peace are voted on. They're elected public officials. The money from the justice court goes into the general fund of the county, and they are funded by the county. They are not a court of record, which means that their appeals, depending upon what happens to a bill that Representative Kozanski is doing, but their appeals currently, if somebody wants to appeal their case, they go to circuit court and hold what's called a de novo trial, where they establish a record, and then that can be appealed to the Court of Appeals from there if they want to appeal it further from the circuit court. But there are... does that answer the questions that you asked?
That's helping me. If I am traveling through Oregon and get stopped on the highway and I get a traffic ticket, how is that handled?
Chair Shetterly.
Some local court somewhere. What court is that?
Chair Shetterly, Representative Wells. The distinction is, as you will hear later when Senate Bill 2020 comes up, there is generally concurrent jurisdiction depending upon where you're cited. If there's a justice court set up, it has what's called concurrent jurisdiction with the circuit court, which means the issuing officer has the discretion as to where they cite, into which court they cite that offense. And they can cite either to circuit court or to justice court. And if it's done in a city, then the officer has discretion generally as to whether to cite into circuit court or municipal court. So it's the officer who decides where that's going, which court that's going into, based on whether or not a justice court exists or a municipal court exists, and the jurisdiction, and generally with the circuit court also.
I guess following along the same line, in Marion County, do we have any justice courts?
There is one out on Lancaster and Woodburn. Does Woodburn have one?
I've heard something about Woodburn. You can go to Woodburn to pay a ticket.
And that really is, that's up to the county commissioners, where those courts are established.
Or whether.
Pardon?
Or whether.
Or whether, there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a justice court, then where do people go to deal with?
A municipal court, if you're in a city that has a municipal court, or else to district court, I assume, if there is neither a municipal court nor a justice court.
Chair Shetterly, we no longer have district courts.
Oh, well, you're right. Okay. The circuit court. That's right. Yeah, you'd go to circuit court.
But even if there's two courts with jurisdiction, it's the citing officer will write on the bottom of the ticket which court you're supposed to go into, because that's the court that they turn in the court's copy of the citation to, and if you show up in the wrong court... I guess you pay the wrong people.
So I guess,
across Oregon, we have how many circuit courts? So we have big gaps out there that need to be filled by these justice courts, or why do we have both?
Chair Shetterly, Representative Wells, we have 27 judicial districts, I believe. We have ranging from ones that just include Multnomah County, where there are 38-some judges, to we have... judicial districts in eastern Oregon where there are four or five counties in the same judicial district, and where the circuit judge rides circuit. And that is, the circuit judge will spend 1 or 2 days in one courtroom and then hop on his horse, if you will, and ride over to another county where that judge will sit for a couple of days. And so the circuit judge may not be in every county on every day. Well, for some traffic offenses and minor civil things, because they can also handle a forcible entry and detainer, landlord-tenant kinds of things, and they can handle small claims in justice courts, The county commissioners have deemed it convenient to the citizens of this county to set up a justice court so there will be somebody there more or less full-time, although the amount of time that they serve, some justice courts don't operate for 5 days, some of them operate for 4 days, it varies. So it's a way of the county commissioners assuring that there are certain kinds of justice services available in those counties where they don't, where a circuit court judge may be sharing time in several counties. Or at, when you have Marion County, which has a couple of justice courts that I know of, there are outlying parts of the county where the county commissioners have just decided that it's appropriate to provide local services so people don't have to go to Salem.
I think that dovetails with what we heard from the sheriff in the last bill out in Deschutes County where they wanted to set up the justice courts so that if you're in Sisters or Lapine, you wouldn't have to travel into Bend to appear in court.
I have a question, but it's for anybody. I was just curious. I don't know the answer to this. Do municipal courts now register with the Department of Revenue? That's required in this bill?
Chair Shetterly, Representative Uberlau, they do not. We picked the Department of Revenue for a couple of reasons. They are required by law. They pay in the unitary assessment to the Department of Revenue. And there was concern among the title companies that if there were going to be people creating liens on real property or potentially issuing garnishments, that somebody should have a list so they could see where those were legal. And we felt since they were already dealing with the Department of Revenue, that that would be an appropriate place for them to register. It's probably some minor fiscal cost for the Department of Revenue, and we tried to make it as minimal as we could. But at least then somebody would have some place to check to see if this court, this municipality, had opted to exercise these powers and could find out who the contact person with that court was.
So you mentioned in passing, and it sounds to me like the title companies were involved in all these discussions.
Representative Shetterly, Representative Uberlau, yes, the title companies were involved and also got involved to some extent on the Senate side with some things that they felt weren't resolved but were resolved on that side, I think.
Okay. Well, I think that'll do for today, then. Thank you very much. We'll wait for the conflict amendments and whatever technical amendments come forward from the clerks. Charles, I hate to send you home so early today, but we're out of business. So I'll close the public hearing. We will meet at 1 o'clock tomorrow, back on regular schedule. Tomorrow is Y2K Day.